It's really important, I think, that we pay a lot of attention to these readings in the Book of Acts, so that they're illustrative of something that we Christians have forgotten, namely that we are basically Reformed Jews. Jesus did not form a new religion, contrary to what I was taught when I was a little kid. Jesus simply wanted, as a good Jew, to bring the Jews back to their consciousness as God's chosen people, which is to say they were to be God's light to the Gentiles. It's like that's what we're supposed to be too, however well or badly we do it. Hearing this passage from John, I would almost lay money that everybody in this room, when they heard this last night, the Father and I went and said, well, that's very clear. It's a clear declaration of Jesus as divine. That's not true. That's not true. The divinity of Jesus was not finally decided upon by the church until 451 at the Council of Chalcedon. It took centuries for this kind of clarity to come. And the reason, I think, is because we have all been influenced, if not infected, by Greek philosophy, because we hear this, the Father and I are one, as a statement of being. The Father's being and my being are one. It's just like we have in one of the Greek, one in being with the Father. Well, that's not what is intended here. So what is this unity between Jesus and the Father? It's a moral unity. It's not a metaphysical unity. It is a moral unity, which is to say that what God is, if you want to see how God operates, you look at this man Jesus, because Jesus, the will of Jesus and the will of the Father were utterly conformed. This is not just a technical, pedantic point. I think this radically shifts the way we understand the whole Christian phenomenon. That is, we talk about God all the time. But what God are we talking about? The God of Greek metaphysics? The unmoved mover? No. We're talking about the God who is manifested in the behavior of this man, Jesus. This radical openness to everybody. See, we dehistoricize so much of Christian belief. Celibacy was not in place for the first millennium of the Christian movement. People used to elect their own bishop, and yet we have this stuff in place now. We think, oh my God, it must be always have been that way. It's not. We are historically unconscious. However historically conscious we may be about ourselves or the world, when it comes to religion, a switch goes off in our heads, I think. To see the face of God in this man and in this man's behavior, this man's espousal above all the cause of the poor, see this man opposed to every form of violence, who suffered violence himself without resistance, like a lamb, as Isaiah has it. He was led like a lamb before the shearers and did not open his mouth. The modesty of God, if you will. The humility of God, if you will. And this alone is the God of Jesus, not the God of thrones and angelic choirs and harps and clouds and long white robes. The God as near as the oppressed are near to us. And until we see that kind of God, we're worshiping some sort of idol, I think. And most astonishingly, we have a God who suffers with us. I mean, that's a very big idea, very difficult to get your head around, I think. And it raises the question, of course, what makes me suffer? Pancreatic cancer, car accidents, losing my keys. Forgetting things. No. We have to ask, what made Jesus suffer? His identification with the poor, that's what made Jesus suffer. His radical identification with everybody who was oppressed. I mean, I live in beautiful North London, Ontario. My forms of oppression I suffer from are pretty meager, I will tell you. But so often I think we're in a kind of cowardly fit. Oh, that's the cross. You know, oh, the garbage wasn't picked up on time. Oh, that's a cross. Well, I have to live with that. No. We need desperately, I think, in the church to find out where God really operates. That's why the words of the present Pope, I deeply hope, are come to be realized. There's supposed to be a church, as he puts it over and over again, of the poor and for the poor. And the poor, not just as object of our charity, for God's sake. I mean, so we all play Lord and Lady Bountiful, and as well. No. It's the lordship of a radical identification with the poor, with the oppressed on this planet, who outnumber me by far. So the Father and I are one. That's the way the Father looks at the world in distress, at its violence, at its injustice. That's the way Jesus looked at the world. And that's what we're called to suffer from.